There is a lot going on this week with the Golden State Warriors, and the offseason has not even started. Brandon Cadiz of Strength in Numbers is joining me. We're talking about the latest regarding Andrew Wiggins. He's unhappy. We're going to explain why. Chris Paul's contract was supposed to expire tomorrow or in 2 days. They've extended that. We'll talk about what that means. The salary cap is going to be broken down a little more. I finally figured out the nuance behind what happened yesterday and what was just pure lunacy. And the last of our free agency coverage concludes today on a happy Friday. We're covering the Pacific Division. There are quite a few players available that the Warriors could pursue. Brandon, let's get to it. This is the Golden Day.
That is it for us today, and we will leave you with a, I can't do it. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks. Woo! Let's go.
In a minute, I'ma need a sentimental man or woman to pump me up. Come on and break me off. Break me off. Cause I get what I want, and I like what I see. If you got shake that.
Happy Friday, everybody. If you're at home, I hope you're sitting back. Pour yourself a stiff one. Light them if you got them. And welcome to the Golden Days. I'm Cyrus Sauces. You can follow me on Threads, Instagram, and so forth at Dog Wild. Brandon Cadiz is over on Twitter. He still has a stomach for everything going on there. You can follow him at High Brand Flakes. Before we get started, a shout out to the chat. I Hate Ewok saying happy Friday. Alan Ubaldo is discussing, going right to business, talking about Lauri Markkanen. Django, good afternoon. Genji Gawk has a lot of questions we'll get to. Brandon, how the hell are you doing, man? And how's that show that's on our network, Believe, doing? Strength in Numbers. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you, Cy. Thanks for having me on the podcast. And I mean, just from you coming over here from that other network just for a couple of weeks, I mean, you built your audience, you brought them over here. And for me to just be part of that is really amazing. We got some very loyal viewers and followers as always, and we always appreciate that.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'm forever grateful for anyone that shows support and love, and there's just never enough of that in this world to begin with. But yeah, Brandon, your show is part of the Believe Network. If you subscribe to the podcast, your show will show up there. What, like once a week on average? Is that what you're doing in terms of publishing content?
Yeah, we're rolling out a podcast once a week, and yeah.
Love it. Good stuff. Well, again, happy Friday to everyone else. Great to see all of you. Excited for the weekend. I'm sure all of you are as well. Let's get started with Warriors discussion. And first things first is Andrew Wiggins. Team Canada, who hasn't been in the Olympics since the year 2000, which is kind of a crazy stat I read this morning. There is a strong possibility that team is going to medal. They've got some legit talent on that squad. 1 through 12 NBA players. And one of those 12 we thought was going to be Andrew Wiggins until we found out today that is actually not the case. And there was a report that was released by Michael Grange of Sportsnet. That's a Canadian publication who reported that Andrew Wiggins is not happy with the Warriors' decision to not clear Andrew Wiggins for Canada basketball. They made the decision based on health reasons because of a sore ankle. I've never heard of an ankle injury that happened months ago, keeping a player out of the Olympics. To me, this is a very clear sign that the Golden State Warriors do not want their asset damaged in the Olympics, playing for another country, especially. I know Anthony Slater went on Twitter and said that it was a mutual decision. He also made it very clear in the tweet, and this is where you got to pay attention to the subtleties, that he was told this. Of course the Warriors are going to tell him that. I'm going to trust Michael Granger in this report who came out, and he's who's a very reputable reporter, saying that Wiggins is not happy with the decision. This is the first piece of evidence I've seen that indicates the Warriors are actually willing to trade Andrew Wiggins, which I think is great news if the Warriors intend on keeping Klay Thompson, which is a whole other story. Again, who knows what's going to happen there? Brandon, we'll start off with that, man. What are your thoughts? What's your take on all the stuff that's happened in the last 12, 14 hours with Andrew Wiggins not being cleared to play for Team Canada?
Well, that's why you're a true journalist, Si. I mean, picking up on that little tidbit there from Anthony Slater, he was told that, which is important, as you mentioned. My initial reaction to that was, this is the Warriors putting him on the phantom injury list. Like you said, a trade package piece. They want to keep him healthy. We know the past couple of seasons he's been in and out due to those personal reasons that we still don't know about. So you got to keep your trade asset as safe as possible. And mentioning a report that I saw right before we came on, actually, by Clutch Points and Tomer Azerly, that the Warriors could potentially guarantee part of only $9 million of a Chris Paul deal, but also include Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga in a deal.
What's the logic for guaranteeing a part of the contract? I mean, Chris Paul would have to agree to that. Did you see what the logic was for?
Yeah.
For...
So the second part of that is that both teams would not be hard cap.
Oh, because of a signature. I'm glad you brought that up. So on yesterday's show, there was a lot of confusion about why the Warriors are getting hard capped due to the fact that they're going to, and it's very important, important tidbit here among all the transactions going on, that the Warriors trade for Quentin Post, meaning the trade to get back the 52nd pick in the draft yesterday that they originally traded for Landy Waters III. We'll get into him as well. I don't know if you've done your research on him, but I'd love to hear your insights if you have. But and all these moves that were going on, the Warriors get back the 52nd pick, and they traded cash for that, which seemed very peculiar to me because the Warriors, the new CBA, meaning the 2024-2025 CBA, does not kick in until July 6th. Actually, was Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Eric Pincus. He is the preeminent expert when it comes to the salary cap. And I was picking his brain this morning. I can't thank him enough for answering all my questions because I was curious. I'm like, how can the Warriors get away with offering cash when they're currently a second apron team? And if I understand these rules correctly, the CBA does not allow second apron teams, maybe even first. I don't know if that applies, but certainly with second apron teams, they can't send cash in transactions. That you are prohibited, right? If you cross that second apron threshold. So I'm thinking to myself, how did the Warriors even pull this off? And it's very, and what's important to note here, and we're going to hear from Mike Bellamy Jr. in just a second, that it's a pending decision. So what I'm almost positive happened here is that the Portland Trailblazers, because we still don't even know what Portland is getting from OKC in that deal, right? Like Portland traded something to get number 52 from OKC before giving that 52nd pick back to the Warriors. We still don't even know what that trade is. That could have been cash too. Who knows? But this is all pending until July 6th. Then the new CBA is going to kick in. Then the moment that new CBA kicks in, the Warriors will give that cash to Portland, and then Quentin Post will officially be a member of the Warriors. You will notice that they will not make that announcement official until July 6th. So this is all like a deal that was made verbally, like behind the scenes. It is not official yet for those reasons. And so that's what's going on, at least there. Anything you want to add, Brandon, or any questions you have before?
Yeah, no, I definitely want to add to that. I reached out to a source, also very trusted on Twitter, for GSW CBA. Yes. Sent them some emails about that. So the initial trade with the 52nd pick coming back for them to select or get Lindy Waters III, they were able to do that due to minimum salary player exception. So as long as you take in a guy with a minimum salary, you won't be hard capped in that first apron spot. So that is why they were able to do that deal. And what I'm hearing from the same source is that the Warriors had all NBA teams have about $7 million in trade cash to begin the year with. So the Warriors used $5.8 million in that Corey Joseph trade to unload him last season. So they had about $1.2 million left, and that wasn't enough for Portland to want to trade for Quentin Post. And based off the going rate for second rounders, that should be around $2.4 to $2.5 million that they'll additionally send over to Portland when that new CBA comes in.
I had myself muted there. That is interesting. And again, there's just so much nuance to all this. So But again, you won't see this move being official until July 6th, because that is when the Warriors can actually move cash. But that's a great added explanation for how they got Lindy Waters in the first place. And you're absolutely right. The Warriors did get some trade exemptions with that Corey Joseph trade. I still can't believe Corey Joseph was on the Warriors last year. I still can't believe Kerr was playing that dude. I mean, do you remember, like, he was – Corey Joseph was getting minutes above Moses Moody regularly.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could go back to Ty Jerome and that situation too.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's – oh, my God. I get traumatized thinking about that. Why don't we hear from Mike Dunleavy Jr.? We got a few sound bites we're going to play from him. This is from a press conference yesterday. First up, this is him describing the process behind trading the number 52 pick and then reacquiring it. So let's hear from Mike Dunleavy Jr. and his rationale and his experience dealing with Portland, with OKC, the logic of it. Here is MDJ.
Essentially, you know, draft, you know, you're always looking to add players. We're able to do so today. Not only through the draft, but also through trade using draft assets. So I think we're excited about that. Add a couple guys that we think can play and help us. And, you know, it's like a weird long process to go through throughout the year, getting ready for these couple days now. And so much debate, so much discussion in the room. You're building a board and all that stuff. And it, you know, comes down. We only had one second round pick, which we traded, and then we decided we really needed to get it back. And, yeah, we were so desperate to do so. We were able to pull it off. And like I said, coming out of the day with a couple good players that we like.
Just could you explain the process of those trades as much as you can? Just did you know that when you made the initial trade with the Thunder that you would end up getting that pick back at the time?
No, I think we looked at it like an opportunity to acquire a player in Lindy that we've liked for a long time. We think he fits a skill set that we look for. Size, shooting, does some stuff on the court, just more than shooting. Can play both ends, good cutter, and plays the style we want to play. So there in Oklahoma City, we play a ton, but we felt like versus the 52nd pick, this is a player that, you know, we feel would be better than 52. From that point, we decided, all right, now we're out of the second round and thus out of the whole draft, and decided that we wanted to get back in because there were some players we liked. Lo and behold, 52 was available. And we really liked it again. And so we got back in. So it was a bit odd, but there was no like original plan to make it all work together, but eventually it did. And ended up making that pick with Quentin, who we really like. Same type of deal, skill set. We identified as a guy that can shoot the ball, stretch the floor. He's got really good size, but more importantly, you know, you want players that can do more than one thing. And we think he rebounds, you know, we think he can defend at a level at the rim that's, you know, NBA acceptable, and good passer. So fits a lot of things we look for. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out, but we're excited.
Have you, and that was Mike Dunleavy Jr. And a lot of details there. I appreciated his candor. What did you do any research yourself on Lindy Waters III? What is your feedback on him?
Yeah. So, yesterday before I dropped my podcast, I had all these draft prospects I was ready to put out. And then the Lindy Waters, the third news came out. I, you know, tried to do as much research as I could and watch the tape and everything. And the thing that stands out for him is, of course, that 3-point shooting. I listened to Anthony Slater. He was on 95.7 The Game on the morning roast this morning. And he said that he expects Lindy Waters to be a type of guy that, similar to Damian Lee, where he's going to hit those open 3-pointers coming off the bench, and he's going to be an integral part of the Warriors shooting coming off the bench.
And again, from what I saw with the clips, because Lindy Waters III has never been on my radar in my entire life until now. So I did the best research anyone could, which is, you know, just YouTube clips and all that stuff. His shooting stroke is sweet. Like, when you watch it, it looks damn good. I, you know, all I can do beyond that is trust people when they say, you know, what they say about his rebounding, about his defense, passing, handling. Those are the kind of things we'll just have to see for ourselves. Yeah. The one thing that I wonder, and Han Solo Dolo wrote this in the chat, and I don't know if I agree with this, and I pray that this is not a repercussion of adding Lindy Waters. Han Solo Dolo in the chat writes, trading for Waters means Moody is gone this season. My hope is that you swap out Moody with Lester Quiñones, worst case scenario, or maybe best case scenario, however you want to spin that. And I say that because I personally really value and appreciate Lester Quiñones. I think he can play. It was a little weird. He got phased out as we went down the stretch last season, because every time he played, let's say when Chris Paul was out those 2 months with the hand injury, the Warriors didn't struggle. The Warriors actually played better. When Quiñones was on the floor, he can shoot. He can play defense. The chemistry thing is not an issue. And I don't want him gone. And I know the Warriors have to make a decision in the next couple of days regarding tendering an offer to him so that he becomes a restricted free agent as opposed to an unrestricted free agent. But if Lindy Waters takes minutes for Moses Moody, that's just another ding on Steve Kerr's legacy in terms of bad decisions. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, I think he can be spot on here on Han Solo Dolo in our chat. I actually was thinking the same thing for how the Warriors have drafted, and Quentin Post could potentially be a replacement for Kevon Looney after what we saw from TJD last season. And Reese Beekman, honestly, from watching his tape, looks like a potential GP2 replacement if they put him in a trade, just because we'll get into him a little bit later. But when I'm talking about defense, he looks like a GP2 type of guy on the defensive end for my player comp. And on the offensive end, he's a pass first point guard, looks like a Trey Jones or a Dennis Schroeder.
That is very interesting. And that's an interesting take. Because Gary Payton II, as we know, is going to make $9 million this season. Whereas the new two-way guy from Virginia, Beekman, is that his last name?
Yeah, Reese Beekman.
Beekman. And as you said, defense is his specialty. And GP2's durability is a massive problem. If he could stay on the court, I would not even think about trading him. But the injury thing, you know, Kyle Schramm in the chat writes that, that Quentin Post looks like he'll fit in our system. You bring up the fact that with Post that Looney can be expendable. I don't think having three centers on your roster instead of two is a bad idea. Do you say that because of Looney's contract, the $8 million? Do you think three centers is too much? Do you think it's a Steve Kerr thing? Because others are saying this as well. Why do you think this makes Looney expendable?
I think it's mostly the contract situation is how I'm looking at it. I agree with you. I think Looney provides one of the best offensive rebounding centers in the league. So to have him, switch out with Quentin Post, who could have 10 to 12 minutes, give you that Dario Saric, Otto Porter Jr. type of three-point shooting, he can really stretch it out for a big, and he can hit the corner three from up top in transition when he's trailing from watching the tape. I think Quentin Post was a no-brainer pick here. I did say on my podcast and just the rumors and aggregated sites that Brandon Carlson from Utah looked like that was going to be an option, but I didn't know about Quentin Post at all. He looks like a better version of Brandon Carlson out of Utah.
Dude, Quentin Post looks like the real deal. And again, I said this yesterday, man, when this all started shaking out, initially, I don't know if you're watching like the draft on ESPN.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching them say the Warriors with a number 52 pick that's going to Oklahoma City. And they said that, right? They didn't report that they actually got the pick back. And so the whole time I'm thinking in my head, and I'm sure a lot of other people were as well, okay, Landy Waters, the Warriors got another guard. Great. Like that's going to make any difference. And then you see the ESPN and you're watching that and you're watching OKC supposedly getting Quentin Post. And the moment you learn about this guy, you're thinking to yourself, Jesus Christ, this is exactly who the Warriors need. And they traded the pick, and OKC's getting a player that actually fits a need for the Warriors. And man, what a roller coaster of a day emotionally, because one minute you're seeing the Warriors draft a player who fits perfectly in terms of skill set and size. And you're thinking to yourself, he's not actually coming to the Warriors. And then you're realizing he is coming to the Warriors. And dude, it was crazy, man. How are you feeling with all that? I mean, it was a parabola of emotion.
The amount of times I had to write a new script, delete it, put it back up on the podcast yesterday. I mean, it was just a crazy day and all of that. And, you know, I think initially we were like, Lindy Waters, this is the move you're making. And in that press conference, Dunleavy said that he's been eyeing him on OKC because of the limited playing minutes. And we saw him help actually the G League OKC team win the championship last year in the G League. And he was a big part of that.
Absolutely, man. Let's go back to Dunleavy real fast, because in this press conference, he talked about Quentin Post, the new Golden State Warriors center. Interesting to note, by the way, Dr. J30, a couple notes in the chat I want to address real fast. First, he wrote, so we have to wait until July 6th to see what shakes out. Technically, yes. In terms of everything being official, in terms of Quentin Post standing up there holding a Warriors jersey, you're not going to see that until July 6th. But considering all the teams have agreed in principle, that they verbally agreed, I don't know if that's if it's legal to do this kind of stuff and make these agreements, you know, a week before the new CBA kicks in. I'm guessing yes, but who knows? But regardless, so nothing can be official, but these teams have already agreed to these deals in principle verbally. So yeah. It depends on your perspective on things. You can consider Quentin Post a member of the Warriors, but it's not an official celebration until July 6th. And then he also brings up the fact, like, are the Warriors allowed to actually tell Andrew Wiggins, no, you're not going to play for Team Canada? And his contract does have a stipulation there, and it doesn't surprise me given how much money they're paying him. He's going to be making, I believe, over $25 million this coming season. There are stipulations there where players have restrictions depending on off-court, off-season activities. And given the ankle injury, my understanding is that they are exercising this out of a medical concern. Whether or not there's validity to that, but yes, the Warriors can actually shut it down. And for those that are saying, well, why don't they do the same thing with Stephen Curry? Yeah, good luck with that. Why don't you tell Steph that he can't play the Olympics next year? I'm sure that'll go over really well. But I understand the logic of it in terms of being frustrated for Andrew Wiggins. Yeah. Before we move on from Wiggins, I mean, again, we now have our first piece of evidence. We don't know how serious it is. We don't know if they're looking at trading Wiggins, vigorously, or if it's just something that they're, you know, casually checking out without being serious about it. We don't know what the level of interest is from the Warriors to trade him, but we do know now that they're at least looking into this. Before we move on from Wiggins, Brandon, your thoughts on the idea of possibly trading Wiggins? Do you like it? Are there any teams out there that stick out to you as a trade partner? Any players you're looking at that you would ideally love for Wiggins to be traded for? Your thoughts on Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah, I think it's the matter of, and I think Dub Nation has been split on this fact, it's either you keep Jonathan Kuminga or Andrew Wiggins. I think the issue here is with the Warriors being able to decide if they want to just accept the qualifying offer that's coming up for Jonathan Kuminga this coming season. He is eligible for that extension, and based on the reports, he's looking for upwards to $30 million per year. So that's going to be taken into account for the Warriors' salary cap as well. So with the whole Andrew Wiggins situation, it's been up and down. If we want consistency, I know he's a point of attack defender that all the Warriors fans want him to stay on this team for, but you know, the best ability is availability, and that holds true for GP2 and holds true for Andrew Wiggins. So he would be a perfect trade piece to secure someone like a Paul George or give Steph Curry that second star that he's desperately needed for the past couple of seasons.
Absolutely, man. In the chat, Douglas Mikes. No, wrong chat. I lost it. Here it is. Douglas Mikes writes, is Quentin Post ready to play like Trayce Jackson-Davis? He is a four-year player like Trayce Jackson-Davis. Quentin Post is 23 years old, so he is ready to play in the sense that he's mature physically, who knows how much emotionally, but he's as close to ready to play as a college player can get.
Yeah, I can give you a quick scouting report on him real quick. Yeah, obviously the shooting is what stands out. On the defensive end, I did watch a scouting report on him, and he said he likes to play drop coverage a lot, is excellent on drop coverage. And, you know, a little bit questionable when he has to defend at the perimeter, like all centers are actually. There was a tape of him going up against his now teammate and Reese Beekman. Beekman cooked him, just went past by him and just made an easy athletic layup. But for Quentin Post, he struggles going left. He has a nice right hook shot, a nice right little fadeaway when he does get to the paint. Left side drives for him are a problem. Quentin Post is a type of guy that the Warriors really needed with like a Lauri Markkanen, and why those trade rumors are coming up. So if the Warriors don't get Markkanen, I'm not saying he's as great of a shooter as Markkanen is now in the league, but he does provide that stretch ability that the Warriors have needed.
Oh, yeah. And the shooting is damn good, man. Again, he shot 43.1% from deep last year, Quentin Post, to put it in perspective. And this is something, again, that people I don't think talk about enough. Shifting gears just for a second to Brandon Pajemski. Pajemski shot 43.8% in his second year in college, which was at Santa Clara. And the last month of the season, Brandon Pajemski shot over 60% from deep. And my point is that, you know, when we talk about the Warriors, these young pieces are going to be better. We don't know how much better, But let's say hypothetically Brandon Pajemski's shooting. Let's say he suddenly becomes a Stephen Curry level shooter. Not saying it's going to happen, but the potential is there for him to at least be in that stratosphere, right, among the elite shooters. Let's say that happens. Let's say Kuminga finally starts reaching the potential that we all hope he's going to hit. The Warriors don't need to make these big moves to get exponentially better next season. And there is so much room for excitement with this team just from these young pieces alone. Let's hear from, and real fast, Victor K. I highlighted this chat because Victor K. in the chat writes, it seems like these cheaper options for Moody, GP2, and Looney, hypothetically speaking, we have no idea if that's really the case, are to save money to re-sign Clay. I'm getting that vibe as well. And again, if you keep Clay, you can't keep Wiggins. I'm steadfast in that being a hard rule. I know Steve Kerr has a different mindset, but thankfully Mike Dillamy Jr. is the GM and not Kerr. What are your thoughts on Victor K's sentiments there before we hear from Mike Dillamy Jr. on Quinn Post?
Yeah, I mean, that would be great to have Clay back on the roster if he takes a lot less than what the $24 million was offered last summer. But I think just based on the reports that we've heard, I think that relationship is pretty strained. So I, as a Warriors fan as well, am expecting Clay to walk away and try to build around the remaining salary cap if he does walk. Oh, you're muted, Si.
Sorry about that. Thank you. And I still think it's like a 50-50 proposition, largely because, and it bums me out to say this, but Steve Kerr has so much influence. And Larry Kruger and I were having a discussion about this a few days ago where Kruger believes that Steve Kerr coming out and saying, like, we want Clay, and he's being emphatic about it. He's doing that mostly to appease Stephen Curry because I don't think Curry wants to lose Clay. But I also believe that Kerr really means that, and he has his favorites. And so if they're going to acquiesce to Kerr and pony up the extra cash to keep Clay, financially, it can't work regardless, having Clay and Wiggins. But it's just a logjam, man. Those two have become like the same player. I wouldn't hate Wiggins staying if they played him at the two. I've been saying this a lot, and I'll say it again. That's his natural position. When he played in Minnesota all those years, seven years approximately, he was a shooting guard. He was a shooting guard in college. And when it came to the Warriors, initially he was seen as like a 2/3. And then we saw him, play big in 2022. And so everyone suddenly identifies him as this guy that can step up and play power forward, but that's not who he is. And so if he plays shooting guard, his natural position, I still don't hate keeping him. But it's when you start relying on him to play and defend bigs and to rely almost exclusively on his post-up game and counting on him to get these huge rebounds. Like that's never been who he is except for 1 year. So that's my feeling on that. Anyways, but I totally hear what you're saying too about Clay. Like Clay definitely has some hard feelings right now against the Warriors. I think he expected Golden State to roll out a red carpet, and the fact that they're not doing that pissed him off. Let's hear from Mike Dunleavy Jr. About Quentin Post before we move on from this subject. New Golden State Warriors center out of Boston College.
Did Quentin work out here, or was it more of a body of work type of thing?
Both. He worked out here. He came in, interviewed, medical, did all that stuff. And then obviously we saw him throughout his career, and a player that really grew on us over the course of his time. Started at Mississippi State and then on to BC. And really this year was on the radar for us earlier in the year, and really improved throughout the year. And he's got a good sample size, good body of work that we like.
Interview wise, what maybe stood out that kind of separated him from other prospects?
You know what? Sharp kid, knew the game, really could get, we sat down, we watched some film with him. We interviewed him. We talked through things. That probably is reflective in his age. He's 24 and a little bit more mature, but just felt like a guy that gets it. And so you have a guy that we're good with on that level, good with skill set. I felt like it made a lot of sense to try and draft him.
It does make a lot of sense. I like the fact that for the second year in a row, the Warriors are drafting players that make sense. That's not a ding on Bob Myers, but I mean, I think back 2 years ago to who was that kid out of Milwaukee?
Patrick Baldwin Jr.
Patrick Baldwin Jr. Yeah. Who is he even in the NBA? I mean, Ryan Rollins, who's not in the NBA. I mean, so there've been weird picks like that. And I'm happy that the Warriors are going with these like reliable, safe picks, because that is what works. And people forget when the Warriors drafted Steph, Clay, and Dre, those three had 3+ years of college experience, 4 for Dre. And a lot of people felt they fit the same mold that Pods and Quentin Post did, which is that their upside isn't super high. So as a result of that, what you see is what you get. That's not, I don't think that's a bad thing. So I'm really stoked with Quentin Post, man. Your final thoughts before we move on and discuss Chris Paul's contract.
Yeah, Quentin Post also, he's a great passer for a big. So I think he fits with the Warriors in that system where we see Kevon Looney being able to do that. We saw shades of TJD last season. So I think being able to pass, especially during the pick and pops and high pick and rolls between Steph, the funnel guy up to lob like GP2 or TJD, that's why they also got Quentin Post on this team.
Absolutely, man. Chris Paul, shifting gears here. His contract, you mentioned that one report about how they might partially guarantee his deal. Yeah. Again, Chris Paul would have to agree to that in order for it to happen. But the Warriors did extend the deadline to greenlight the team option of $30 million. I think they extended it to June 30th, which is Sunday. It's going to coincide with the start of free agency. Next week should be incredible for content on this program. Definitely tune in for that. And while you have it, I don't solicit this often, but if you folks don't mind, hit that like button, please. Subscribe, please. This is a new program, so the solicitation is out there. Shameless plugs galore. Please do show the love in that regard, if you don't mind. Chris Paul, man, elaborate, add anything that's missed. His contract's getting extended. What do you think that means, Brandon?
Yeah, I think it, just from that report that I mentioned too, I think it gives them a couple of days to, you know, try to figure out if they can get something done with Paul George. Paul George's opt-in does deadline is tomorrow as well. And in addition to that, some breaking news out of Hoops Hype. Michael Soto, Moscato got that report that the Warriors aren't going to be extending the qualifying offer to Lester Quinones. Oh. So they're going to let him walk.
Which makes even more sense that Lindy Waters is who they got to replace Quinones. Mm-hmm. Quinones did have a guaranteed roster spot at the end of the season last year. I am still sad to see him potentially go. The Warriors could bring him back on a two-way deal. They could bring him back for Santa Cruz. They could even still give him a guaranteed deal, but that does lower the odds of Lester Quinones coming back. What do you think about that, man? Like, do you care if he goes?
I actually liked him as much as you did. We saw signs of him the past couple of summer leagues, like be that player like Jordan Poole in terms of like his three-point shooting, the step back threes, a lot of similarities there, and just his vibe too, a young kid that just brought energy off the bench.
And, you know, Genji Gawk writes that they signed Garuba but not Quinones. Is that true? Actually, I haven't heard anything about Usman Garuba.
I haven't heard anything from him either in terms of looking at the projected salaries for next season. I don't see him on that list. I did hear that report, though, too, like a couple of weeks ago or almost a month ago where he you know, the initial report was he went to Spain to play there, but it's decided to come back to the States.
Correct.
I haven't heard anything other than that from that point on.
Well, Shane West, an OG fan of this program. Great to see you writing, bringing up the Built Bars, man. I mean, that wasn't even a sponsor in the old show for like the last year, but that is a legacy reference. Thank you for the Built Bars mention. That is a shame about Lester Quinones. And as Bruce Morrow wrote in the chat, that means he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, not a restricted free agent. I believe the same rule applies to Usman Garuba. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's correct. Where the Warriors can tender an offer to him as well. And if they do that, it makes Usman Garuba a restricted free agent. But if they don't, he will be unrestricted as well. So that's kind of a bummer, man, about Quinones. But what are you going to do? So Chris Paul, real fast. What do you think is the end result here, man? Like the fact that you're right. I think you said this. The fact that they're pushing back the deadline for exercising that $30 million, I do think it means they're trying to make something happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting as well that Chris Paul is going along with this, considering, and maybe the reason why is because he's not going to get $30 million. I guess I just answered myself. So he's going along with this because it means more money for him, but he doesn't have the freedom to pick the team he's going to go to. Your thoughts on this whole Chris Paul thing, man? What do you think it's going to end up as and everything else?
Yeah, well, that new wrinkle of being able to partially guarantee him a contract, I think it also gives him the option to talk to teams during this extended period, see what his market is in the free agency. I guarantee you that he's not going to get $30 million elsewhere. So if that $9 million sounds nice for the Clippers, I did see that report too that they're you know, hammering down and they want Jonathan Kuminga in part of a trade if they're going to give the Warriors Paul George. And I think, you know, that's where the Warriors are like I brought up earlier, Is it worth giving up Kuminga? Because we know that we'll have to extend him eventually for a $30 million contract. And then that's where you have the conversation to where, are you willing to pay Jonathan Kuminga $30 million per year?
Hell no. Well, no, hell no in terms of trading Kuminga.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no any the Clippers, man. Completely ignorant. You have no chance in hell of getting Kuminga.
It's ignorant. You're being ignorant.
Said. So it's interesting. These next few days, and again, if anything breaks down where some big blockbuster trade or transaction happens, we'll go live on this show. I'll do an emergency podcast immediately talking about that. But so Chris Paul right now, we're waiting to see what happens there. Could be a trade, could be nothing. The one thing I feel confident about is that the Warriors are not going to give him $30 million and he's not going to be coming back to the Warriors next year. That part, I'm fairly certain of. Brandon, do you have an answer for Ray Lang in the chat who writes, how do we get Paul George? What's the deal? I don't think the Warriors are going to get Paul George. To me, the only way that could happen is if you include like a Moses Moody, if you include like a Brandon Podziemski, which sucks. What are your thoughts on that, man? I mean, because otherwise, that's the only way you're going to make the trade happen. I hope the Warriors are putting their foot down in terms of Kuminga. I hope they're putting their foot down for all those guys. Like, I want the Warriors to keep that young core, man. How are you feeling about that?
I think you have to try to find a way to get Paul George by keeping one of Kuminga or Wiggins. I don't think you need to be giving up both. And if you have to give up both, and just with the theory of the Warriors of, you know, still trying to compete with a championship, if they give all of that up to the Clippers, I think that significantly hampers the Warriors, because the philosophy of getting older by adding another guy that does have an injury history, had a healthy season last season, but if you look a couple years back since his days with the Indiana Pacers, it hasn't been, you know, a perfect sailing injury-wise for Paul George either compared to Klay Thompson.
Absolutely. And you brought up the breaking news on the show earlier about the Warriors not tendering an offer to Lesser Quiñones, thus making him an unrestricted free agent. Bruce Morrow making us aware, and he is correct. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting out that the Charlotte Hornets have waived Seth Curry. I know he is a role player, but I would love him on the Golden State Warriors, man. I think he can still play. I want to see those two brothers trying to win a championship together. I love the idea of family. I'm personally a very family-centric individual. I just love all of it. If Seth Curry comes to the Warriors, sign me up. Considering how low he was paid last season, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he could accept a Vedman deal or something near that, right? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was going to say the Warriors, after, you know, signing these draft picks, they'd have two roster spots open. So yeah, one of those can definitely go to a vet minimum. You know, I don't think they signed him immediately at the start of free agency on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday free agency starts June 30th at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So I don't think the deal automatically gets announced then. I think, you know, they got to wait and see what happens with Chris Paul and what trades they can make before going the vet min route.
Yeah, and the other thing is, and this is where, again, you stay below that luxury tax threshold, which is approximately $171 million,
yeah.
You get the mid-level exception. You get the biannual exception. Like, the biannual is something where if Seth Curry wants money, that is what you could use. It's for a player like Seth Curry, solves your shooting issue, potentially solves your backup point guard issue, because Seth can play the point even if he's not a natural at it. Dude, sign me up.
Sorry to interrupt you. Hawks, breaking news from Shams Charania. The Hawks traded DeJounte Murray to the Pelicans. The report of who they're getting hasn't been announced yet, but we know that DeJounte Murray is going to the New Orleans.
Wow. Okay. All right. That's fascinating. I'm very curious to hear who goes back for that. I mean, it's weird to me that the Atlanta Hawks chose Trae Young over DeJounte Murray. I actually value Murray more. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I expect this to be a big haul just because DeJounte Murray can garner a lot of that. And, you know, on my wish list, honestly, for the Warriors, I know he's not available, but Zion Williamson, if they can just get his diet right, I think he would have been perfect for the Warriors.
Still could be. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not like I've ever heard that the Pelicans are locked in stone and keeping them. I'm with you. I think Zion Williamson on the Warriors would be a game changer. Absolutely. But it would be an incredibly high price tag. Let me ask you this. I'm glad you brought Zion Williamson's name up, because there's a few names out there that put me in a pickle. Like, I can't give an immediate answer to. Lauri Markkanen is a perfect example of someone who, if you came to me and said Markkanen for Kuminga, would you make that trade? I hesitate. I really do. Yeah. The same applies to Zion Williamson. I think you'd have to do that, but I'm definitely pausing and thinking about it. Would you trade Kuminga for Williamson?
So if I'm comparing both of those, I said also on my podcast that I wouldn't do a trade for Lauri Markkanen straight up for Jonathan Kuminga. But when it comes to Zion Williamson, I would, because he has that athletic ability that Kuminga also possesses and that we've seen multiple times when he is healthy and before he got injured in the last playoff series, that Williamson was having a great series. And I think he provides that athleticism and just that deep post presence down in the paint.
Yeah, totally. Well, that's interesting. And again, this is the offseason. There's going to be a shitload of player movement. And I'm very curious to see how this all shakes out. But so, again, the folks is, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Larry Nance Jr. and 2 first round picks to the Hawks for DeJounte Murray so far.
There better be more than that, man. I mean, if that's all you're giving up for DeJounte Murray, I mean, why? There's got to be more than that. That's a low price tag to get DeJounte Murray. That's kind of crazy. Wow. All right. Well, thanks for dropping that nugget of information. I want to play one last soundbite from Mike Dunleavy Jr., because I really quickly, leading out of that, want to explain the Warriors salary cap situation. And they are now hard capped at the second apron. It is not the first apron. What I learned between yesterday and today is that different transactions can trigger different hard caps, which is a new caveat that the old CBA did not have. And so Mike Dunleavy Jr. talked about the fact that the Warriors are now hard capped at the second apron. I'm going to explain in just a minute what that means. But first, here is Mike Dunleavy Jr. talking about the Warriors now being hard capped at the second apron.
This hard caps you at the second. I mean, I know it didn't sound like it was a plan to go over that at all, but was that at all part of the thought process?
I think we were aware of what it did. At the same time, I think we're okay with that. I think that's, to stay under the second apron, plenty of money to spend to build a good team. And we also recognize, like, going over that, how restrictive and prohibitive it is. So we were okay with it.
And so when the second apron is $189 million, first apron is $179. So there's a difference of $10 million there. Now what can trigger 1 versus 2? I did some research on that, and let me find it for you, because I actually posted this on my Threads page. So if you actually want to read all of this, just follow me on Threads at Dog Wild. I hope that's super easy for you. I'm going to share my screen while we do this. And this is courtesy of research from Ryan Bernardoni. Here are all the situations which trigger a first apron and a second apron. To trigger the first apron, meaning you're hard capped at $179 million, you cannot go a penny over that, not even for veteran minimum deals. The hard cap is insanely restrictive. So if you acquire a player via a sign and trade, if you use the non-taxpayer mid-level exception for a free agent, if you use the biannual exception to sign a free agent. So the Warriors were going to be, because they were going to use these mid-level exceptions, they were likely going to be hard capped anyways before this trade. If you use your mid-level or biannual exceptions to in a trade, you're going to be hard capped at the first apron. If you take in salaries greater than what you send out, you're hard capped at the first apron. If you sign a player that was waived during the middle of the season and their contract pays more than the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, you're hard capped first apron. If you acquire a player via a trade exception, you're hard capped first apron. Second apron, which is $189 million, is if you use the taxpayer mid-level exception to sign a free agent. And I think that's what the Warriors, that's what classifies the Warriors this season, if I'm not mistaken. If you aggregate 2 or more outgoing players to create a salary match in a trade, now you're second apron. If you send cash in a trade, you're second apron. If you create a trade exception from an outbound sign and trade, you are now a second apron violator. If you trade your first round pick, regardless of protections, you are hard capped at the second apron. That's a weird one. So you just can't trade your first round pick. And if you do, you're hard capped. So the point is, there are so many of these little nuanced rules that trigger all these different hard caps. $189 million, you can survive with that. Your thoughts, man. This is how convoluted and complicated this whole thing is.
Yeah.
Did you even follow that, or did I lose the entire audience right there? What are your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, but basically just a lot of things that put you in the first and second apron. Well, luckily for the Warriors, at the start of the new league year on July 1st, and especially with, you know, pushing Chris Paul's decision for that $30 million, it puts them at just over that first cap. That put them at $148 million, well under the first apron.
Exactly. And again, I don't think if the Warriors sign Klay Thompson, again, they're in danger of now losing your mid-level exceptions. You're in danger of having that freedom to sign free agents, which they didn't have the luxury of doing last year. It cost them in a lot of circumstances. So that's how complicated it is. So when you send cash out, and again, the Warriors cannot send cash out until July 6th. That is when the new CBA kicks in, because if you're a second apron team, you are restricted from sending cash to acquire pieces. But on July 6th, the Warriors are just a salary cap violator. They're not a luxury tax violator. And so they're allowed to do that. And that is why the trade is being held up until July 6th. And Lee Ving in the chat writing, kiss the cook apron is what level? That is your spicy sausage level. All right. Are you ready to talk free agents? Is there anything else that we need to touch on before we move on? Is there anything remaining from yesterday? Any other questions, Brandon? Any other topics before we talk about who is available in the Pacific Division for free agency?
No, I just want to mention like the comments here in the chat that, yeah, it seems like a lot of these teams just probably don't want to work with the Warriors because the trade finalized with DeJounte Murray, Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, and a couple of first-round picks seems just like a low amount to get someone of a caliber like DeJounte Murray on your roster.
And that's why when Mike Dillingby Jr. said, I think this was on Monday, that trading in the NBA is so hard. I didn't want to hear that, man. Like, you can do it. It's not rocket science. Kier in the chat writes, we need to sign Nick Claxton. I just don't know if the Warriors can do that. He's probably going to command 20 plus million a year. The Warriors do not have the cap space to spend.
He re-signed with the Nets actually a couple days ago for an extension. So he's off the market.
Is that already official? Like he signed his deal?
Yeah, that was like two or three days ago.
Oh, there you go. You know, now that you say that, I remember it. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Yeah, 98 million guaranteed too of the 100 million from what I remember.
So that's not even an option here. I'm sorry. Blame Brandon. He's the messenger here. All right. So let's see who's in the Pacific Division for free agency. And again, this is the five teams in the division that the Warriors themselves play in. We'll start off with the LA Clippers. This is who is available in free agency from the LA Clippers. I updated this today, although it seems like every 10 minutes something new is happening. Paul George has a player option for $48.8 million that he has not, to the best of my knowledge, exercised yet. He might exercise that and then force a trade with that one-year deal. He might get a contract extension for max money. That's what he's looking for, but that's where it stands with Paul George. James Harden is an unrestricted free agent right now. He's reportedly waiting to see what Paul George does. I don't think there's a chance in hell he's going to the Warriors if that trade happens. Any thoughts so far, Brandon, from these two?
No, just your biggest fish right there, Paul George. Still trying to make that trade.
Do you want him on the Warriors? Like, what do you think about the idea? I don't think I've heard your thoughts on it. Like, do you like that idea?
I think I like that idea if you know that Klay Thompson's going to walk, for sure. I think if you get Klay Thompson back, that, you know, obviously you won't get that chance to get Paul George.
Absolutely. Who would you prefer, Paul George or Clay?
As of right now, I'm going to say Paul George. The past, you've mentioned this. I've mentioned this on my podcast. It is hard to get. I mean, we remember Game 6 Clay and his barrage of threes and all those performances. But the last two playoffs, that Lakers series and the Kings series, you know, that's what the saying is. Sometimes you remember how you go out and not necessarily all the good moments before that.
Absolutely, man. Nick Venske showing some love, showing you some love, Brandon. One interesting player.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, and Nick's a good dude. Hopefully he'll come on the show soon. Going back to the list, Daniel Tice. Is it Tice or Tice? I think it's Tice, right?
Yeah, it's Tice.
What are your thoughts on him, man? He's a big. He can actually shoot the three, if I'm not mistaken. Unrestricted free agent. Would you like him as a third center? If you acquire Tice, I think that's when you could really start thinking about moving a Kevon Looney. Now you're getting jam-packed in the center position. Although I also heard somewhere that the team might start the season off with Quentin Post playing in Santa Cruz. And if that's the case, then you do have room on your roster. But what are your thoughts on Daniel Tice?
I would honestly prefer to keep Looney over Tice. I prefer the ability of the offensive rebounding. I think the Warriors have a perfect three center rotation right now. You have TJD, the athletic lob threat, the JaVale McGee build, right? And then now you have Trayce Jackson-Davis too, you know, the ability, yeah, that I said, Kevon Looney, that rebounding big that you need. And then you have a stretch big. You have all three different types of bigs that you need in this modern NBA.
Totally, man. Another big that's available from LA is Mason Plumlee, known more so as being a defensive specialist. He has that kooky free throw shot where he does it with his left. He's a solid rebounder, offensively very limited. Your thoughts on Mason Plumlee?
We got Looney. We're fine with that.
But would you agree though that Mason Plumlee is a better defender? Like in other words, if you were tasked with deciding who to play to defend Jokic, Plumlee or Looney, we already know Looney cannot hold his own against an elite big like Jokic. Plumlee might at least have a chance of slowing that dude down a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I believe down in the post, he's definitely kind of that rim protector is what you got to with Quentin Post. And I think that's also, you know, the versatility that Mike Dunleavy mentioned. He has a big body. He's able to hold bigger defenders down low. I watched actually a clip of him against Kyle Filipowski, one of the top recruits in this year's draft for Duke. And he did a good job of holding him down. So I think we should expect big things at the rim in terms of defense for Trayce Jackson-Davis and Quentin Post. That really excites me, that two duo there, to be able to protect the paint and really, you know, the rim.
Absolutely, man. Interestingly enough, I have no clue where he's going to go. If I had to predict, I would say it's going to be Miami. Russell Westbrook has a player option for $4 million. He might even exercise that, actually. I don't know. What do you think he's going to do?
$4 million? I think he can get more than $4 million from a team.
If he can, he's not going to exercise that. I think money's going to decide what he does next. But for the Warriors, irrelevant. I don't think there's a chance in hell the Warriors pursue him. And then they have the Clippers have a player named Brandon Boston Jr., who I think is similar in status to Usman Garuba, Lester Quinones, restricted free agent. I don't know anything about him. Do you?
No. Not at all.
All right. So we'll move on to the other LA team, and that's the LA Lakers. LeBron James is a player option for $51.4 million. I still can't believe that the Warriors actually explored the idea of trading for him last year. That is a real thing. So we don't know yet if he's going to leave his contract and try to get a 3-year max. I've heard some speculation about that. D'Angelo Russell, former Golden State Warrior, it's weird saying that as well. Has a player option for $18.7 million. Do not believe any reports out there that he's coming to the Warriors. I've read some of that lunacy. That is not true. Torian Prince, Mo Bamba, Jackson. Torian Prince and Mo Bamba are both unrestricted free agents. Jackson Hayes and Cam Reddish have player options, both for $2.5 million. And then Spencer Dinwiddie is an unrestricted free agent. Max Christie, a player I actually like a lot, but the Lakers are not going to let him go. He is a restricted free agent. Your thoughts on that big list of names?
Yeah, honestly, what stands out to me is Mo Bamba and Cam Reddish, the first two names that come up for me. We saw Mo Bamba in his time down with the Orlando Magic coming up to the Lakers. Not really too much playing time with him there, but we know his ability to block shots, be a little bit of that athletic big. So I think athleticism at the big position should interest the Warriors no matter what. And Cam Reddish, you know, an above average type of shooter, also above average type of defender. I mean, these are all vet minimums that the Warriors could potentially sign. And I think if they are looking at the vet minimum outside, I think they need to sign another wing. You really provide them with that wing depth that they need.
Love it. Good analysis. Let's move on to the third team in the Pacific Division, the best division in basketball, in my opinion, and that is the Phoenix Suns. Royce O'Neal, I thought something happened to him recently. Did he re-sign with Phoenix? I can't remember off the top of my head, but
not too sure.
He was listed on SpotTrack as an unrestricted free agent. Eric Gordon recently opted out of his final year of his deal. He had a player option. He refused. He is an unrestricted free agent. There has been speculation the Warriors are interested or were interested in Eric Gordon at least a year ago. Who knows if the interest is still there. A player who also opted out, another one. And this is a player that I think would fit the Warriors beautifully. And that's Josh Okogie. Unrestricted free agent. I have no clue how much money he's going to ask for. Former Warrior Damian Lee, Stephen Curry's brother-in-law, has a player option for $2.8 million. Don't know yet if he's going to exercise that. I don't know if the Warriors would want him back. I still don't know why they let him go for nothing after the title season. The fact of the Warriors, I'm sorry to go back here for a second, but the Warriors win the title in 2022. It was egregious enough that Gary Payton II was not kept. They could have kept him, and they let him walk because of money. But then they also let Juan Toscano-Anderson and Damian Lee go for nothing. And on one hand, you think to yourself, well, you know, these are bench guys. You know, you can replace them. Until you saw who they replaced them with, which was Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb. I will never understand why the Warriors did that. I'm sorry to go back 2 years and bring up that random transactional moment, but it sticks out to me because it never made sense. Your thoughts on what I just said, if anything?
No, yeah. Eric Gordon, you know, that type of shooter that we see that the Warriors always need shooting. I think, you know, he could be a potential option there if Klay Thompson walks and the Warriors don't make a big trade. You need that second shooter, and he's a type of guy that always provides that. We've seen his track record, but you did mention Josh Okogie, and I really like him too. I think defensively, I mean, he's a shooting guard, but he has a, like about a 7 foot wingspan, and he just provides that that length that the Warriors need to defend.
And he caused the Warriors so much trouble last year. If you can steal him from Phoenix, you're also hurting the Phoenix Suns. I'm all for it. I'm all for Josh Okogie if that ends up being an option. David Durfee in the chat saying that the Pelicans just got DeJounte Murray. Welcome to the show late. We already covered that, but thanks for bringing that up, because it is a huge blockbuster trade. Going back to the list in terms of remaining free agents from the Phoenix Suns, we talked about Damian Lee already. Where are we on the list here? Drew Eubanks, center. He's one of those dudes that is like, he doesn't have a strong offensive game. I like him because he's one of these high energy pests, right? Like if you have a high energy 7 foot pest on your roster, that causes problems, and that's really advantageous for your team. I wouldn't hate Drew Eubanks for the veteran minimum. That's all I'd pay him, but I wouldn't hate him on the Warriors. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's the type of mold too, like a Plumlee, where, you know, he provides you that option there on the defensive end as well. I'm not sure, is Udoka Azubuike also a free agent on the list, Cyrus? Because I think he would interest me. I think he's an unrestricted two-way is what I'm seeing. So maybe if the Warriors can get him on a two-way deal from Phoenix,
I didn't include any two-way players. So
gotcha. Might be. Yeah,
those are the only players I did not include in these lists of the two-way guys.
He just really stands out to me just from his time at Kansas and just watching college basketball. I just remember how dominant he was in the college game. And I think 2 years in now, maybe 1 year into the NBA, hasn't really seen that much playing time with Phoenix. So maybe a two-way contract if the Warriors want to steal him. I think he could be a great replacement, especially with Usman Garuba not on the roster anymore.
Well, who would you rather have?
Between Eubanks and Azubuike?
Oh, no, Azubuike and Garuba.
Oh, I mean, I would still take Garuba. I think we saw limited minutes from him, and just what from everyone saying in Dub Nation, a mini Draymond Green. I mean, I'd like to see more of that defensive ability that Garuba had.
And Garuba, it's easy to, and first of all, Garuba is 3 inches taller than Draymond Green. You're right. They look strikingly similar. But Garuba's a former first round pick. I mean, it's not like he came into the NBA like insanely raw and undiscovered. Like, no, he came into this game with potential. I'm with you. I would like to see the team at least try with him in terms of giving him minutes. Thaddeus Young and a player who I think might be shorter than us, Isaiah Thomas, round out the list. So from Phoenix, I think the Josh Okogie name is the one that really sticks out. Anything else about Phoenix before we move on to our final team?
No, we covered the players that are of interest to the Warriors, at least.
Absolutely. Tim Ford, I agree with you that Kershaw's favoritism, not exactly a glowing attribute for someone who is a teacher, a leader. So the Sacramento Kings, yeah. Alex Len, JaVale McGee, and Kessler Edwards as a restricted free agent. I still would love JaVale McGee back with the Warriors. I still would love Alex Len as a backup center for the Warriors. If either of those two are available for the cheap, I'm all in as a backup center. I actually don't mind Kessler Edwards either, but I don't think he's going anywhere. So those are the two names, two backup centers. If you could have them for cheap, I endorse it. Your thoughts?
Out of all the centers we've mentioned in the specific division, it's Alex Len for me. If we were to assign someone, he'd be the perfect fit to have that third center in case they do trade Looney out of here.
Absolutely. I love the chat, by the way. And enjoy all, me highlighting all this. The moment this platform gets monetized, which should be soon, I'm going to be charging you folks for these for highlighting your chats and answering questions. So enjoy the freebies while they last. I got to make some money. TJ Warren is another name that I just want to see TJ Warren play before I form any judgment or opinions on him, because we haven't seen him play in years. I know teams like the Bucks and the Suns have been rolling the dice on him, but then we never actually see him. And they're seeing him in practice, so maybe – what they're seeing is enough to, you know, to prove that he's no longer belongs. But this is a guy that not long ago was a real basketball player. And I know the injuries can destroy you. We've seen it with a lot of players, Klay Thompson included. But I just want to see what he looks like, man. I need to see with my own eyes. I don't know if TJ Warren excites you at all. But
I mean, it was the TJ Warren show in that bubble. That's where he really made the name for himself. He had that 30, 40-point stretch performance. All the eyes were on TJ Warren. So, I mean – honestly, Si, this kind of sounds like an Andrew Wiggins 1 year great from the 2022 finals and his finals run in the bubble this time for TJ Warren. So, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to take a chance on him. Just like you said, injuries have just plagued his career so far.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And then the Golden State Warriors, I just want to list off who's actually available from what SpotTrack listed. Klay Thompson, which is weird, unrestricted free agent. We mentioned Usman Garuba, who's likely going to be an unrestricted free agent. We mentioned Lester Quinones, that we now know for sure after Brandon's report earlier in the show, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Dario Saric, I think someone in the chat asked earlier what's going on with him, unrestricted free agent. I would not count on the Warriors bringing him back. Too much of a defensive liability, I think, is what he showed. He earned playing time when that three-point shot was falling, but when that shot disappeared, and it did, he suddenly had like virtually no value. So that's Dario Saric for you.
And he was on this roster just because Chris Paul and his chemistry and the playing time between them off the bench. So if Paul is gone, you definitely know Saric isn't coming back. And with QP, Quentin Post on our roster now, he provides that stretchability that Saric had last season.
I love that pick, man. I don't know about you. Yeah. I love that.
Oh, I love it.
I'm going to get someone from who covers Boston College basketball in this program soon. Just so we can get some really intricate details about him, but Dub Nation, be stoked on that. When we come back for the next show, it's undoubtedly going to be filled with a lot of information, and we're talking about a revamped Warriors roster. So these could be the last days of the Warriors as you know it. Brandon, any final thoughts? Anything you'd like to promote before we call it a day? I know you've got a Twitter handle, you've got Strength in Numbers. Thank you so much for taking an hour. These shows are going an hour. It's crazy, man. I hope the audience is not getting bored because of this. So I used to go 30 plus minutes. But so I hope, in other words, these shows on average doubling what I used to do is because the content is quality. I don't want to do fluff or filler. So Brandon, the point is, thank you for spending an hour on this program today. Promote everything you have going on. And any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'll start off with the final thoughts. Real quickly, Reese Beekman. I know I touched on him earlier the show. Yeah, he's a back-to-back ACC Defensive Player of the Year in college. So that's where the whole GP2 comparison for me comes in. He played 34 games as a senior last season, averaged 2 steals per game. His shooting is in question. Inconsistent jumper, similar to a GP2 as well, but he's a pass-first point guard. And I think this is why the Warriors brought him onto the roster. They expect Brandon Podziemski to be that guy for the Warriors. But having another guy in Santa Cruz that has a 3-to-1 assist ratio is perfect in the NBA. And he can complete any type of pass, entry passes, you know, across the court pass just from watching his tape. And I think Reese Beekman can be a guy that when injuries do happen in the NBA and on this Warriors team especially, we could see him up this season for the big club in the Warriors. And just closing it off, you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at HiBrandFlakes. Dubs_strength is our podcast page on Twitter. I just post whenever we have a new podcast coming out for the week. Usually drops on a Thursday or a Friday. And sorry not to blow smoke up your ass, but this has been a great time, and just having people from the other network come over here, as you mentioned too. You're building something big here, and I'm great to be part of it.
Dude, you are a part of it. And again, Brandon's show, if you subscribe to the podcast, it shows up, you know, once or twice a week whenever he does it. So as long as you're subscribed to Golden Days, you'll hear Brandon's show. Thank you, brother. Again, it's always weird when I get compliments. I never know how to handle them, so I just say thank you. I'm embarrassed, but thank you, man. I don't know how to respond. But thank you so much. And we're trying to grow something big here. And I will say this, dude. The Quinn Post thing was it's a solid pick, dude. I'm really happy with it. I love what you're adding regarding Beekman. Yeah. Two-time – so he twice made the All-ACC defensive team, or was it even better than that?
No, he's better than that. He won Defensive Player of the Year in back-to-back seasons, which is he's the third player in the ACC to do so in the history.
Okay. Well, there you go. And Brandon is throwing out the idea of Beekman possibly being a GP2 replacement. Dr. J30 is a she. Thank you for updating me on that. I apologize if I made that mistake, and it sounds like it did. I will not make that mistake again. Thank you so much, Matt Brotherton. Thank you. Thank you to everyone. It's Friday. Go have some damn fun, man. Brandon, yourself included. This is a good show, man. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone. We'll be back at this soon. The moment the Warriors make a big move, we're going to be hosting a show. So stay tuned for that. And Brandon, I'm sure I'll have you on the show again soon.
Yeah.
And thanks, everyone. Bye. Bye-bye. That was a great show, man. Thank you, brother.